in a way, a series that we've been going through since the beginning of Lent, back in about the middle of February or so. We've been talking about prayers of the past is the title of the series. We've been looking at significant prayers that were offered in the Bible. We looked at Jonah's prayer, Hannah's prayer, Nehemiah's prayer, Mary's prayer. And now today we got Reggie. He's going to be talking about Jesus's prayer, also known as the Lord's Prayer. And you've been, if you grew up in the church at all, probably you've prayed the Lord's Prayer, been familiarized with the Lord's Prayer. You know kind of the basic outline of it. But that means it can kind of become stale or rote for you. So Reggie's, no pressure, gonna enliven that prayer for us. But as with all of these prayers that we've had, we want that to be a pattern for you so you can pray this prayer with meaning. And just suddenly I remembered I didn't print out the sheet. I have had a sheet the last several weeks for you to have those prayers. But if you're on the text chain that we have, you'll get one at 11:15. It'll come out to you at 11:15. So if you want that right now and you don't have that, text the word loop to 740-227-4838. At 11:15, you'll get a text from us with the outline of that prayer. And I mean, it's the Lord's Prayer, so you know the prayer already, but the idea is to pray it yourself in using your own words with that outline. So Reggie's going to deliver this message today. I want to say thank you to Reggie. 2 weeks ago, he was at Hebron New Life preaching on a completely different topic, and this guy has a real job. You know, like he's got a pastor job like I do. He's got a real job. And so when he does his study and his work, it's at a different time than what, you know, I would be able to do it in. He works nights, so he's sleeping during the day. He's a very hardworking guy. So, Reggie, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what God's going to give to us through you today. So let's just pray for him this morning while we listen to God, thank you for Reggie, and thank you for the ministry that he has to all of us, to his community, to his family. We ask, Lord, that if there's any nerves kind of rolling around in him, that you just calm that or use it to fuel him and just fire him up so that we hear exactly what it is, what you want us to hear today. So we lift up Reggie to you. We pray that you honor the work that he's put into this and bless it for our ears and your magnification. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is good. God is good. God is good. And all the time. Looking at the Lord's Prayer, as Dave said, it's probably the most known prayer in the Bible. It's probably the most recited prayer in our culture today. Dave actually just preached a sermon on it a few months ago when we were doing the Sermon on the Mount series. And in my mind and in my heart, I'm like, you know, how do I do this sermon, being as everybody already knows, we covered it at church. You know, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I'm going over it and I'm focused on the manner that Jesus wants us to pray in. But the Spirit moved me away from the manner and told me that it starts with your attitude towards prayer. So to understand the attitude towards prayer that Jesus takes, you have to go back before he delivers the Lord's Prayer. You have to understand that he was at the beginning of his ministry. This is shortly after he had been baptized by John. This is shortly after he had spent his 40 days in the wilderness. He had just called four of his disciples to him, and he was going about teaching. And he starts off with the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed be. You've heard it said, you have heard it said, but I say. He begins to flip the religious structure on its head. And he begins to point out that your actions are not enough when it comes to how you live for God, but it is also about your heart. And he takes the same approach with the prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he starts off and he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards." This is a theme that Jesus would continue to preach upon or to say to the Pharisees, to the religious structure, as he goes on about his ministry. In Matthew 15 and 8, he tells them, while being questioned about why his disciples are transgressing the law, he tells them, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Again, in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 39, he tells them, "Now you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." This is the way that Jesus addressed the church at the time. The thing that struck me is that time, when it comes to the religious structure, is not much different than what I see going on today. Over the last 20 years of watching different people in and out of ministry, I have seen pastors call God's damnation down onto people simply because of their race. Leading all the way up to today, I see pastors calling God's curses onto people because they don't agree with their political position. Now, while this may be good for your church congregation, and while this may be good for your political base, these things are actually far from the heart of God. You have received your reward of man. What are you to get? What do you have left to give to God? In Job 13 and 16, he tells us that these hypocrites shall not come before the Lord, for they already have their reward. Jesus continues to tell you, he moves on from there, and he tells you what then to do. He says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, when I was a child and I began to learn about this scripture, when I was really, really going through something, I would literally go up in the room that my brother and I shared, and I would go into the closet and I would shut the door. And what I would find oftentimes when I did that is that the Spirit would overtake me and I would just find myself in tears before I could even speak. See, that prayer that I had to God, it wasn't for my brothers and my sisters to see. It wasn't for my father to hear. It was only between me and God, because God knew what I needed before I even could speak a word, so he would bring it out of my spirit, and my spirit and groans would communicate with him. This is where Jesus is starting off talking about the attitude of prayer. See, our prayers are not meant for man to rejoice in. Our prayers are meant to be our conscious contact with God. Jesus continues to move on from there. He says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens." Some versions say Gentiles do. "For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before you ask him." That's what I'm talking about, speaking from the heart. Now, the funny part about this, as Dave said, the Lord's Prayer has probably become one of the most vain, repetitious prayers in our society. And I understand it. It is a powerful prayer, and it's Jesus teaching us how to pray. But it's time we begin to look, as a church, in our personal prayer lives, we begin to look at how to shake it up a little bit. So I go over, and I'm looking at how I see the prayer, how God gives the prayer to me. It starts off with humble praise. Jesus has already told you to humble yourself. Go into your closet. Go into private, where it's just you and God, where man cannot see you. Man cannot give you praise. Man cannot tell you about how good you pray and how much your prayers mean and, "Oh, they touch me." It's just you and God. There's nobody but you and him. And when you're in the presence of God, you have no choice but to humble yourself, because he's so much larger than you. Jesus says, start off giving him praise. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven." Now, in the Old Testament, they do call God Father as well, but when they speak of God being the Father, it's in this set-apart sense. But Jesus, he comes along in his ministry, and he begins a preaching of God the Father as somebody who was right there intimately in your life. So the prayer would actually sound more like, "Our Father, the one who guides me, the one who walks with me. You, Father, the one who holds my hand and leads me through all these struggles, the one who looks down from heaven, hallowed, wonderful, glorious, marvelous, undefeatable, holy, name above all other names, set apart are you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is a verse of kingdom building. Lord, we don't want to have to wait for what you have in store for us. We know that you promised that at the end you will come back and you will turn all things new, but we shouldn't have to wait for the greatness that you have in store. We want you to bring your kingdom to us now. We are struggling, Lord. We want your will now. We are impatient creatures. Give us your way now. Then Jesus says to pray for provision. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Somebody say, give us this day. Say it again, give us this day. The thing we have to realize is that this prayer for provision is not just a prayer for provision, but it is also a prayer of praise. Because in asking God for the provision, you are acknowledging to him that you don't have what it takes to make it through your struggle on your own, that he and only he has what you need to get through. Say it again, give us this day. The other thing we need to understand is that this day does not just apply to a 24-hour period, but it also implies to a moment of time. Give us this day, the moment in time. We're living in a world right now where we are seeing violence rage like crazy for all different kind of reasons. We have children disappearing. We don't know what to do about this. Our child suicide rate is raising, and it seems like there is no solution to any of these problems. So say it again, give us this day our daily bread. Now, while that also refers to nourishment, the bread is also more than the word. The bread is the provision. The bread is the will and the strength to continue to make it through these situations. We cannot survive on our own. We cannot just survive living off of each other with no faith and no will to make a difference in this world. So we pray for his will, and then we ask him to give us the bread of his will so we can figure out what we are to do as we move along and continue to try to build his kingdom. Next, Jesus tells us to pray for repentance. But the Spirit didn't speak this part to me as just repentance. It's repentance and renewal. Because he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have to understand that repentance and forgiveness is actually a selfish thing, all right? When you forgive somebody else, you are removing all of the animosity, the anger, the hate, the hurt feelings, the pent-up emotions. You are releasing these things, and you are renewing your heart to be able to submit yourself in a manner in front of God to where he can mold you and he can use you. He won't do these things without you doing those things. So it's repentance and renewal. Oftentimes, it works that way even more than with God. We have our personal relationships. You see marriages that struggle. Maybe there was some infidelity. There's many different other issues. And you say, baby, I forgive you. But then a month later when you're fighting, it gets brought up again. That's not a renewal. You cannot begin to rebuild and renew your relationship as long as you are holding on to all of the hurt and pent-up feelings from the past. So when you come before God, and you're asking him for forgiveness for your sins, you must therefore bow down yourself and forgive others of their sins, cleansing your heart and your soul of the things that are not of God so that he can use you. He moves on from there to what I like to call deliverance. And lead us not into temptation. Lord, please keep us in your grace. Lead us down that straight path. Please do not lead us down that wide path that are the ways of the world. We simply want to stay in your grace. But deliver us from evil. And even though we know that you will protect us, even though we know that you will lead us in your way, we know that times will come. The closer we draw to you, the more the enemy will attack. We ask that you deliver us from this enemy. For all things, as long as I keep my eye on you, are possible. Father, use me in spite of the world. Deliver me from the things of this world. Lastly, the last part of the prayer was actually added by the church. It wasn't something that Jesus specifically said, but it is very, very important to me as a close, as the doxology. And it says, for thine is the kingdom. Father, for all of this is yours. And the power, for only you have control to change it. And the glory, for only the praise belongs to you. not just while times are good, not just when I need picked up from rock bottom, not just while there's breath in my body, not even while I rest, Lord, waiting on you, not just until you wake me up on the peaceful shores of paradise, but forever, Father, because forever is what I need. Eventually, I will be gone, and all of these things will be left to my daughter. Eventually, she will be gone, and these things will be left to my grandchildren. Lord, I don't want this world to be for them what it has been for me. I need your will to come in. The other thing that strikes me about the Lord's Prayer, and in our society today, maybe the most important thing, throughout the whole Lord's Prayer, Jesus only speaks in the singular when it comes to the Father. For thine is the kingdom. Everything is yours. But when it comes to everything else, including repentance, Jesus speaks in the plural. Our Father, forgive us our debts, as we, the man who didn't sin, the man who had nothing to repent for, still prays with and for the people. So as we go along, and not just this week, but the rest of our days, and we view the way that we pray, how are we praying? Are we praying for the kingdom? Are we praying in the manner of the Lord's Prayer? Or when we pray, do we pray for ourselves? As pastors, as ministers, as preachers, when we pray, are we praying to stir up the spirit of our churches? Are we praying so that the congregation and people that know us in the community come up to us and tell us how great orators we are? Or are we praying because we really believe that God has the power to reach in and heal this world? God is just not looking at the manner of your prayer. He's looking at the attitude of your prayer. Where is your heart at? Is your heart with me, or is your heart with the world? Because if your heart is with me, you would pray for the world, because I already know what you need. You don't even need to ask me. I know it before you ask. I expect you to pray for others. I expect you to forgive others. This prayer is not just about the manner, but it's also about the way that we treat and we pray for others. As the band comes, we've gone through all of these prayers over the last 5 weeks. And to me, they all tie together into this prayer. Hannah got her victory because she believed in the Lord. Mary's expectation was of the greatness of the person who delivered this prayer. Jonah's prayer of repentance, now that's kind of obvious. As you go back over and you look at these prayers, and you reflect on who you are, bring it all to the total. When you bring it all to the total, bring it back to the body. And when you bring it back to the body, let the body know that we are one. We pray for us, we pray for our, and we pray to the Father. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today thanking you for being the awesome God that you are. For no other can do the things that you do. No other can give us the things that you give us. No other can be to us what you are to us. Holy are you, set apart is your name. But Father, we come to you today praying that you would reach in and heal our land. We are going through so many things as a nation. We are going through so many things as a world. And it seems that people are drawing farther and farther away from you. But we pray to you that you forgive us our debts so that we can forgive them and you can use us as your vessels to continue to build your kingdom. Thy kingdom come, Father. We cannot do it on our own. We can only make it if you give us the provision. We can only make it if you give us the strength. We can only heal this world if you give us the power and you give us the chance. All of these things we pray, all of the praises we give, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. For this last song, I just